Welcome back to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. Today's episode, we're getting honest about some of the stuff that doesn't always make the highlight reel. Some of our close calls, our near misses, and occasionally a full-blown travel fail. We've pulled together some of the best learn from our mistakes moments from past episodes into one compilation episode, so you can pick up the lessons without making the same detours that we did. One quick heads up before we get into it, since these stories come from earlier episodes, it's possible that some of the program rules or award charts or card details may have changed since we last spoke about them. So while the lessons hold up about, you know, travel fails and detours, just make sure to always double check the current details about your booking before you jump into it. All right, let's get to the episode.
The whole reason I found Points and Miles, surely I've said this on an earlier podcast episode, but
I feel like we're so deep into them now that the odds are good we've all said the thing.
Probably.
We've all said things before.
Probably. The whole reason I got into Points and Miles was because whenever I got engaged, Maria, who you've all met by now. I got into Points and Miles because she wanted to honeymoon in, or she planted the seed of honeymoon in Maldives. It wasn't like a huge pressure thing. It was, I always thought it would be cool, but we're not, I don't know a famous person who's there. So I'm trying to make an analogy that's really falling.
We're not Kim Kardashian.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we're not Kim Kardashian.
She definitely hasn't been there, but I feel like that's a good way to approach it.
That was how I got into it. And my original flights there were from Dallas to Abu Dhabi, flying Etihad, and then Abu Dhabi to the Maldives. And I'm super excited about it. We're flying in first class, and about 2, maybe 3 weeks before our wedding and we're supposed to leave, Etihad announces that pretty much effective immediately, they're discontinuing the Dallas to Abu Dhabi route. So my flight does not exist anymore.
Goodbye. Good luck. So like,
a couple weeks before the wedding, everyone's like, oh, are the flowers the right shade of white? Are the napkins going to be okay? Travis just like, hey, our honeymoon flight is currently not in place.
A few weeks leading up to a wedding are like the most calm, chill.
For sure.
Everyone's
relaxed. That's what everyone says. Yeah. So I was in the most zen state I've ever been.
Right.
And disturbed.
Something has disturbed your peace.
Something has disturbed the zen. So I'm trying to figure out how to salvage this. Keep in mind, at this point, I've maybe only had 2, maybe 3 redemption trips I've done, and none this big. This was my first real big international premium cabin experience. First real big redemption. And so first thing I do, of course, is I just go and look, and surprise, surprise, I can't make my trip work with the award availability that is there. Just flat out can't. Etihad doesn't have any additional availability the following days from Abu Dhabi to the Maldives. The few other options to fly between the US and Abu Dhabi have no award availability. And I'm trying to figure out what to do to salvage this, particularly with my Abu Dhabi to Maldives leg, which does still exist. Literally, my booking has changed to Austin to Dallas, nothing, and then Abu Dhabi to the Maldives. It's like some very obscure open jaw.
Just have to reposition from Austin to Abu Dhabi. Peace.
And so I know I have to keep that Abu Dhabi to Maldives flight. I don't have another option. So I'm trying to figure out, how do I get to Abu Dhabi in time to get on that flight? And there is only one way of making it happen. Etihad still had some availability from London to Abu Dhabi. I just needed to get to London. And yeah, that was in first class, which was cool, but I was willing to do anything. Literally, my routing option that I found that worked was I needed to go Austin to Dallas to London to Abu Dhabi to the Maldives, even if I'm scrapping the premium cabins to make this happen. And unfortunately, there is no award availability that I can find from Dallas to London. Not on British Airways, not on American, not even in Connie. So I decided to shoot my shot. I look up the seat maps and I look and see that there's at least open seats. They might have been sold, but there's at least open seats on one of American's flights from Dallas to London. And I call American and I really wish that I knew who I got on the phone, but I call and I explain my situation. Look, I booked a flight originally with Miles for my honeymoon to the Maldives. Etihad canceled the Dallas to Abu Dhabi flight. I have no other options. Can you open up award availability on your flight from Dallas to London and rebook me there and then on the Etihad flight from London to Abu Dhabi? And of course, I asked for first class because I'm already like shooting my shot. So yeah. Ask big and just be grateful for when they say, sure, like you can fly in economy and there's not even two seats together, but it's better than not going. So I ask, can you open up two first class seats on your Dallas to London Heathrow flight for us? This is the only itinerary that will work to get me on my honeymoon trip. It's in 2 weeks. I don't have another option. And she says, give me a minute. Let me go talk to my supervisor. Goes off. I'm sitting there on hold. I don't remember what the hold music was, if anything. But sure enough, she comes back and she says, Mr. Cormier, I was approved to open two first class seats from Dallas to London. And we have rebooked you from Dallas to London in first class and from London to Abu Dhabi on Etihad's first class.
I just got back from Europe myself, did not overlap with Travis, although I was briefly tempted to reach out and say, hey, want to meet Rome? But I was in Germany for a few days and then in Sicily for about 5 weeks with my entire family, just hanging out in Airbnb. Had a wonderful time, a lot smoother oceans than Travis, I imagine. I also did some diving off the side of a catamaran into the Mediterranean Sea. Maximum depth is maybe 12 feet. Oh. Yeah. But yeah, had a wonderful time. Everything went great until the flight home was absolute chaos. Was flying Delta because they're the only ones who have a direct flight from Catania in Sicily back to the United States. Actually paid cash because it was a reasonable fare. And it might have been the worst travel experience of my entire life because the flight was canceled. Like with 5 minutes prior to boarding, they'd actually put some people on the plane already, some mechanical issue, rescheduled for like the next day and then delayed a few times. But it was that classic European delay situation where because the laws are different over there about like what airlines are responsible for, you basically go to like airline detainment camp, I guess would be like a way of kind of phrasing it. They just put you all on a bus, haul you over to some hotel. It's basically like almost like a low end Holiday Inn, like nothing super exciting. Gave us one room for our family of five with two twin beds, but because it was for a family, they brought one extra pillow for one of the twin beds because like that's
so nice.
Things. Yeah.
So one pillow shared between three children.
Well, yeah, I guess one extra pillow. So two pillows on one bed, three on the other. Okay. And I guess that works for five people. So
yeah.
Yeah. Someone walked into our room because they were assigned the same room like an hour and a half later. That's always fun. Elevator did not work on our floor. And one of my kids can't do stairs. So every time we had to leave, had to go down a flight, call it up. That was fun. Mm-hmm. But survived, eventually got back, had to overnight in New York at the TWA hotel, which feels like it's like half points and miles people in it at any given time. I had mixed feelings on that one. But finally made it home and good to be here. And that was only like, you know, 24 hours ago. So I'm still a little jet lagged here. Those of you on YouTube might be able to see it in the face, but good to be back and had a great trip overall.
You know, I have a question for you, Bryce, and this might get you in some retroactive trouble.
Uh-oh.
I like those kind of questions.
Since your flight was canceled, why didn't you use your credit card insurance to book a nicer hotel?
Great question. And I actually had that thought, and I'll walk you through it. So I guess to start, I did use it to book a second room. Okay. Which was somehow worse than the first one. I still need to file that claim. And I did get my first EU 231, is it? Compensation of my
261,
life.
261, I believe.
261, yeah. They already paid that in like 12
really?
Hours.
Really? Wow. Awesome. Wow. Yeah. Usually you have to fight for that.
No. Yeah. Well, in this one, yeah, I think they knew they were really at fault. But yeah, I have a bunch of reimbursements to file for that, and we'll get good coverage. But the amount of like airport hotels around Catania is not what you expect, like as an American. Usually it's like, all right, there's five or six choices. They all have shuttles. No, like there's very few options within like 20 minutes of the airport. None of them have shuttles. A lot of them are really low end, and they were all sold out very quickly because there were a number of flights canceled that day. So I did look into those options and decided to just stick with the group. But on the silver lining side, it was kind of fun to have like a little bit of a bond with this group of people. We felt like we were in this like awful reality
show.
You're
on Survivor.
Yeah. Like they like cleared out some sad, empty like wedding venue and used that to feed us. You get like a preset menu, not in like the good way, like, oh, it's a restaurant in Europe with a preset menu. It's like, here's a piece of paper. It says like value menu, like according to terms from Delta Airlines. Here's what you're eating. There's no choices. So yeah, it was roughing it there for, geez, almost 2 days delayed. But yeah, we're home now, so that's what matters. Good trip.
I was traveling from Denver to New York for a wedding, and I was flying Southwest, and I could see that all the earlier flights that day had been canceled. I think this was like the beginning of the government shutdown, so they were starting to close the airspace over New York. And I was like, I can't risk not making this flight. I'm in the wedding. If I mess this up, I'm actually sabotaging somebody's day. Although I think they would have been okay without me. But, you know, I called Southwest to try and see if like there was anything they could do or whether they could tell me how likely it was that my flight was going to get out. But they couldn't. So instead, I transferred some points over to United to book a backup flight for the next day, which, like, obviously you have to have the spare points to be able to do that. But for me, I know I'll use those United points anyway because the transfer's irreversible. But it's just like being in Denver, it's a hub for United. So I'm going to use those eventually. To me, it was worth the transfer and the possibility of making it out on my original flight to do that. And I ended up almost forgetting to cancel the second flight, in which case I would have actually wasted the miles. But I remember like landing in New York at 1 a.m. and getting ready to go to sleep after I'd gotten to my bed for the night, and then being like, oh my God, better cancel the second flight that I'm definitely not taking out of Denver now. But yeah, for me, same thing. I was not worried about how much value I was going to get out of the points. I was worried about not being there for my friend on her wedding day.
It's like you can always earn more points. In a perfect world, your friend only has one wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone been completely burnt by a repositioning flight?
I almost was like 2 weeks ago, but didn't end up being an issue. But otherwise, I haven't yet, and I hope to never be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't say I've been burned yet.
Yeah, same. So as long as you manage the risks appropriately, I think that the odds of being burned is pretty low. So we'll talk when you should do them. We'll talk about what they are as well as when you should do them, when you shouldn't, and how to avoid those risks that might turn your dream business class or first class or economy or premium economy redemption into an airport sleepover. But I'm really interested, none of us have been burnt, but what's been your closest call when repositioning?
Matt, it sounds like you got a recent one.
All right, so for our recent Morocco trip, we were originally, I had to reposition to Toronto and Montreal to then fly to Casablanca because there was one seat on either plane. I ended up later rebooking it out of Dulles, so easier to not have to essentially transit Canada to get to Africa, but regardless.
That's a normal way to go.
I know, exactly.
Standard routing.
Well, what's even funnier is, for the time being, it was Raleigh to Montreal, Raleigh to Toronto. No, it was Raleigh to Montreal. And then one of us was Montreal to Toronto. So that was me. I was taking the brunt of it just because like there was literally nothing otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, so we changed it to go out of Dulles. So, but I had booked through Aeroplan. And as you might know, Aeroplan basically charges all kinds of fees for cancels, changes, all that kind of stuff. So it was going to be like $350 to cancel the flight that we no longer needed. So I just kind of let it sit because I was like, I'm not really sure I want to pay $350 to get, I want to say it was like 30 or 40,000 Aeroplan points back. It was not a great redemption. So I just kind of was like, well, let's see what happens. Well, the day of our flight was, you know, we were still flying out on the same date, but I still hadn't canceled it. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll figure out what I'm going to do. It'll be game time decision. Well, I got an alert that the flight was canceled. And it turns out that there was a massive ice storm heading towards Montreal that day, which was the day we were leaving for our trip. Granted, we weren't flying through Montreal anymore, but had we been, we would have been stuck in Raleigh essentially with like 6 or 8 hours notice to try and get to Montreal or Toronto for the two of us to then make our other flight. So we weren't burned because I had been able to rebook. But if I hadn't done that, we would very likely have been super burnt there because our positioning flight was going to get canceled with essentially no real other way to get there and no alternative flights to Morocco that I could find at that moment. So,
right.
So, yeah. Kind of was a close call, but guess what? I didn't have to pay $350 to get my 45 or whatever thousand Aeroplan points back. So that was the real win.
Yeah, you're kind of describing an ideal scenario for you.
Yeah. Well, it was an ideal scenario in that it didn't affect me, but had it affected me, it would have been real not so good.
Oof. Yeah. That's, that would have been kind of a whirlwind. Did you, was it direct? It would have been direct for you to Toronto and direct for Ashley to Montreal.
Direct for Ashley to Montreal. We were both flying to Montreal, and then I was hopping over to Toronto because I was taking the cake on that one, knowing that we were flying so far out of the way that I was like, okay, I'll take the extra leg. See you in Casablanca.
See you in Casablanca.
Yeah.
How was your trip once you got there?
Oh, it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that going to be the first time that y'all split up on separate long haul flights?
I think we have, but none come to mind. I'm pretty sure we have before. But like to Europe, to me, it's like, I don't know that that's long haul. I don't consider it long haul, but I know some people do. So, but yeah, no, we haven't gone to like Asia or Australia, like a true long haul separate. I know you guys do a lot. Or some as an accommodation when you can't find space. And I think it's a good way to do it, to be able to fly what you want when you need it. But we haven't.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my close call.
That was your call.
Not so close, close call.
Close. Yeah.
Would have been a close call.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Emily, what about how about you,
Travis?
You?
Oh. Or me? You want to go me?
Jinx.
I'll go. And it's honestly, I set myself up for failure. I didn't fully fail, but I was like relatively new into the hobby. This was maybe like 2021 or 2019. I don't remember. And, I was so excited about the idea of positioning flights that I was like repositioning for things that were pretty unnecessary. I had just moved to Denver and I had a trip in Asheville that I had to get to. And I don't think there was a nonstop flight at that point. And I think there is now, but I repositioned to Chicago on a different airline and then flew from Chicago to Asheville and the same on the way back. And on the way back, it was definitely a close call. And I was like transitioning through the Chicago airport or through ORD, which is gigantic. And I flew into one terminal and had to get to a different terminal and go through security. And it was just like a lot of, time I hadn't really accounted for. All to save probably like $50. how close did I cut it? Maybe 20 minutes.
That's
but
tight.
You know, worth it for my wallet, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that again.
I've been pretty fortunate with my repositioning flights. I tend to be very conservative with them, but the closest that I had was we were flying out of Newark on our long haul, and this was back when I worked night shifts in my old job. So I got off work, headed straight to the airport, super tired, catching a JetBlue flight from Houston Hobby to JFK. And I'm like,
were you trying to go from JFK to Newark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a repositioning flight. That should be a position.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Just like they used to offer a flight from the one Houston airport to the other Houston airport, they should offer intra New York flights, like from JFK to Newark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I had done it multiple times before from LaGuardia to JFK.
Yeah. I've done that. Yeah.
That's not terrible. So I said, it's Newark. I left myself like 4.5 hours between flights and like still made it in plenty of time. But that trip from JFK to Newark was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So a little on edge and sleep deprived, but
right.
Not 20.
Also,
minutes,
like, repositioning from Texas to New York, how long is that flight for you?
Like 3.5 hours.
That has to be close to like the maximum distance you would want to reposition like in the U.S. for a flight. Like at what point? Like, well, I guess what's that? I guess that's a question. How far for you is like too far for repositioning? Because like to me, I'll position from North Carolina to like Chicago, New York, D.C., yeah. Miami, and those are all like 1.5 hour max flights. Mm-hmm. If I have gone to Dallas before, which is like a 2 hour flight.
Yeah. I've kind of hit it all. The only place that I really try to avoid is like Seattle, because that's a like 4.5, almost 5 hour long flight.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've done West Coast, like San Francisco, LA, like there, New York.
Are those like 3 hour flights for you too?
They're about the same, like three and a half.
Gotcha.
So I wouldn't do it.
That's you're probably doing
I totally
it to
fly would do it for Europe.
Oh, really? I would definitely not. Yeah.
Like right now, although the Saudi Arabia trip is probably getting canceled. Like right now, I'm flying back into JFK. We're on our return supposed to go from Riyadh to London to JFK, and then I just reposition back from JFK to or Newark or LaGuardia or something back to Houston. One of your trips, you did have to make a last minute pivot.
Yeah.
why don't you I'll just let you tell your story in your own words here.
This was a fun one. We were celebrating my husband and I's like 40th birthday, and we were meeting some friends in Scotland, but being the spoiled people that we are, we decided to go a couple days early because we were gonna do business class. I didn't want to fly in the economy seats over there. But I ended up finding business class seats on Emirates from JFK to Milan on the Freedom Route. And that's like one of my dreams. Like I want to have a picture at the bar. Like need to do it. Top bucket list thing. So I was like, we're doing this. This is how we're going to get there. So I booked that flight. I was super excited about it. We were going to go JFK to Milan and then spend a couple days in London and then meet our friends over in Scotland. Well, we were positioning. Like I said, I'm from Tampa. So we were positioning from Tampa to JFK. And no lie, bags are packed, getting ready to walk out the door. And I get a notification that my flight from Tampa to JFK has been canceled.
Ooh.
So, obviously, start panicking. I think before I even tell my husband what's going on, I'm already panicking, trying to figure out, looking online to see how I can switch it to get to, a different flight. And, long story short, I'm like, I don't think this is going to happen. So I call Emirates and I'm like, hey, how long do I have to cancel this flight? Can I still cancel it? They're like, yeah, we just need 6 hours notice before departure for you to cancel and get your points back. Okay.
That was probably cutting it pretty close at that point.
Oh my God, so close. But I was like, oh, but I really, you know, wanted to make this flight. So I'm looking at options in Orlando, which is an hour and a half drive. But I'm like, they have bad weather too. I'm like, okay, well, I found a flight, you know, I can't remember if it was out of Newark or LaGuardia, but I'm like, okay, what if I get there and then we can drive? And like, but there's just so much risk there. And like, do I want to potentially lose all these points with Emirates that I have and then still not get to take it? Or do I need to pivot? So that's what I did. I had to pivot, and I ended up canceling the Emirates flight. Then I knew I had about 2 hours to try to figure this out. Well, actually, yeah, I wanted to figure it out before I canceled the Emirates flight. So I went back and like, okay, what do I have to do to figure this out? And I didn't have to get to Milan. I had to get to London at some point because that's where my hotels were for the next couple nights. So I'm like, okay, I just have to get to Europe. So I'm searching all over the place. Well, Virgin Atlantic has a flight direct from Tampa to London. I'm like, there's no way. This is going to be insane. Well, sure enough, I lucked out, got on. They ended up having 2 upper class seats available. So did some quick points magic, did some transferring, and booked us on a flight that night from direct from Tampa to London on Virgin Atlantic upper class. And that was...
Oh.
What a way to save it.
Yeah.
And it was by the wire. So I think I booked it like six and a half hours before departure. Just in time to call Emirates to cancel so I could get those points back, which are still sitting there, by the way. So I'm still waiting on that trip, but it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I can't even, I mean, outside of not being able to take the Emirates flight, like it almost ended up more convenient for you.
At the last minute. Yes.
Yeah.
It was more convenient for sure, but you know, their fees are higher, so we did pay quite a bit more in taxes and fees to get over the pond.
Yeah. This is the story of my first business class flight and what it led to while we were on the trip, which basically the setup is that we were flying to Lisbon and Paris for a trip in 2023. And at this point, I had never flown business class before. I've been on this podcast for like, I don't know, a few months. And I was tired of the shaming, the economy shame. So I was like, all right, this is going to be the trip. We're going to do it. But I already had a bunch of economy flights. Our outbound and our return booked already in economy. So I was just spending like every single day leading up to the trip looking for a business class flight. I was using Seats Aero. That's like personally one of my favorite tools, at least for last minute availability. So I was hoping to find something that I could book with my United miles, since that's what I had already used to book the economy flights. And I didn't want to have to transfer more miles and end up paying like triple what I had already paid. So a few days before we left, I found Lufthansa business class flight to Munich, I think. And I was able to book that through United. So we ended up doing that, which changed our entire itinerary, like, I don't know, 48 hours before we left. We ended up with a full day in Munich, just walking around. And honestly, it worked out great. I mean, I know Lufthansa is not nearly at the top of the business class scale, but I was in 0G flying through the air, so I was happy. But the result of this was just that we got off the plane and we were like, we can't fly economy back. That's simply not an option anymore. What have we done?
Who initiated that?
Oh,
the person that we heard in a recent episode. Yeah, I'd say I've heard all these stories to the other side, and it's like interesting to hear them now. But
yeah, well, yeah, no, he's fully like, if I have to fly over an ocean, I want to lay down. So, okay.
Heard. And not on the floor in the aisle of economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once we get to Lisbon, where I'm like, okay, obviously I need to change our flights. We have direct flights back from Paris to Denver in economy. And I think I'd booked through Air France. So I was eager to, again, like cancel and reuse those same miles because I don't transfer more. But we were on a ferry, like just crossing the water to go to lunch in Lisbon. And I had like very, very slow data. Whatever like data I had purchased was just, you know, crawling. And so I'm on the Air France app, the Flying Blue app, looking, and I find availability from Paris to Dallas. And so I was transferring points to try and book that. And then not only that, but there's like a lot of taxes and fees too. So I don't think I've ever thought less about spending like $700 on taxes and fees. I just was like, oh, this seems reasonable. Sure. And I was so nervous, not only because like, are the points going to transfer while my internet is so incredibly slow? And then also, is the charge going to go through when I try and pay for the taxes and fees? Luckily, it goes through. We're sitting next to this like beautiful ocean, or not ocean, whatever, waterside cafe. And we have business class lights back. Obviously not home, but I'm not really concerned about how I'm going to get from Dallas back to Denver. I don't really care.
Walk if you need to.
Yeah. We'll figure it out later. I think my lesson, my takeaway from it is that you have to be the kind of person where you're willing to like rebook things on your vacation where you're maybe not necessarily relaxed for like an hour or two.
But then maybe then, euphoric.
Right. And then you're like it, celebrating, right? And having a nice glass of Vino Verde. And then my other takeaway is just that last minute availability can kind of change the game. Like if you're open to changing your itinerary or shifting things around, you can go from, you know, sitting in an economy seat for 11 hours to sitting in a business class one. So
yeah,
that was my wild, wild experience changing all of my flights around mid vacation.
On both ends of the trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Biggest mistake of 2024. Has anything jumped to mind, Travis, that you wish to share with tens of thousands of strangers on the internet?
Yeah. No, but yeah. My biggest mistake this year, this was really a good reflection because I talked about kind of my anxiety with points and miles in terms of the balances going down, but that really did not stick out as my biggest mistake. My biggest mistake was just waiting too long sometimes. I had a number of offers that I should have taken advantage of, but I just overthought it. This included bonus offers on cards that I knew I was eligible for that I just did not, or me or my wife, that I just didn't take advantage of because I overthought it. And I guess I gave myself analysis paralysis on some of those, but it also just applied to booking trips as well. Probably the biggest one is I'm going to Antarctica next year and we have to get down to Argentina. And award availability to and from Argentina can be very hit or miss. And unfortunately for our dates, it's been pretty miss. I'd been searching, which is one of the advantages of planning farther in advance, is I have that time for availability to come up. And a good option on LATAM opened up from Santiago, Chile, not Argentina, but a pretty easy repositioning flight, if you will.
Or we can just move there.
Yeah, or we can just move there.
Just saying.
Yeah, two business class seats from Santiago to JFK on LATAM opened up. I overthought it. I overthought that repositioning thing, which I've done many times. I've repositioned to other countries. I've repositioned within the US. It's not a big deal to me, but I overthought it. And by the time I decided I was ready to book it, I went and the availability was just gone.
A quick story about how I booked ANA first class by holding my own award space via different partner booking. I had similar to stories we heard in the P2 episode and here, my wife planted the seed, I believe is the phrase Travis used. Yeah. Like, hey, I'd really like to fly ANA first class. We're going to Tokyo. I'm like, okay, like I know that this is notoriously difficult to book. It's an amazing product, but I'm gonna see what I can do. I'm trying to book it through Virgin, which at the time is about 120,000 miles round trip. You could transfer from most major banks. Did not find any availability through Virgin, but did see I could book it through United for, I think it's like 110,000 points per person each way. So almost double. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna blow all my points in this because this is what my wife wants. And like, I really wanna experience this. So I booked it. And, but then later I get the idea. I'm like, wait a second, like, let's see if something kind of changes. So I checked like a month ahead of the trip And I did see that there was that space was being listed as Saber space, but they only had one seat left. So that's not going to work for both of us. But then I determined, wait a second, if I'm sitting on two bookings right now, I wonder if I cancel one of those, if I could get Saber space. So I call up Virgin. I give them the exact flights that I want, you know, Houston to Tokyo, Tokyo then goes to Chicago. Two flights are like, oh no, there's only one available. And they're very polite and fun British accent with the great hold music.
Yeah,
love that.
They're so great.
So the agent is looking at the calendar and just like, sorry, I see this, there's one available. And I said, okay, hold on one second. Watch this. And then I think I said something like, I promise I'm not magic, but I hop into my United account. I cancel the reservation. And then I say, okay, hit refresh, try again. She goes, two just popped up. I was like, perfect. Transferred points right there on the phone, booked the award space within a minute of having released it myself, and boom, saved, you know, 250,000 points, give or take. Got to fly ANA first class. It was incredible. But same common thread, knew exactly what needed to happen, had everything in place right up to the moment where I could ask, like, okay, now let's do this. And there's at least one customer service rep at Virgin that thinks that Bryce the American is this weird magician who can just make award space appear. But did it, booked it, had a wonderful trip.
I want people to know that you could chalk some of this up to luck, some of it to intentionality, some of it up to hope. I wanted to let people know that it doesn't always work out.
Usually doesn't.
There's a reason why we don't have 10,000 stories of it working out. You know, Bryce talking about his Emirates first class upgrade, I was almost certain that it was going to work out for me. When we came back from our Christmas trip this year, we were flying Emirates from Dubai direct to Houston. I personally have been fortunate enough to have flown first class on that route, and it's almost always virtually empty. So, but they weren't releasing award availability. And so I told Maria, like, here's the plan. It should be fine. Like, totally should be fine. You know, I've flown this. It's virtually always empty, and had the exact same plan as Bryce. We had booked business class because first class wasn't available when we booked it, and I kept checking before, and it never opened up. So I said, we'll do it at the airport. We'll do it at the airport. Except when we get to the airport, that's the one day when it's completely full, completely sold out. I think there's 16 seats in first class on the A380, and it was 100% booked. And I know. Woe is us. We had to fly business class for 17 hours. And actually, I really liked Emirates' business class on the A380. I think people don't give it enough respect. I know I slept so good that the flight attendant actually had to ask Maria to wake me up because I was so deep in sleep. And I'm a very heavy sleeper. So,
wow.
Yeah. Okay. But it doesn't always work out. So, you know, Bryce somehow managed to get 5 seats and I couldn't even get 2.
All right, that's a wrap on this episode. Thanks for listening, and may all your close calls stay close. We'll see you next time.